Hi, and welcome to Queers and Soaps. I'm Eric.
Hey, I'm Devin.
And we are following up with the number 96. Well, it's just number 96, right? Not the number 96.
Well, I guess like the characters kind of say the number 96 a few times, like just referring to
Okay.
kind of like the building, but yeah, number 96.
I always call it the number 96. I don't know why I can't stop. But tell me all the credits and we'll get right into it. All right, so before we start, I like to give a little character or actor information that I easily Googled. I looked up Pat McDonald, who plays Dory Evans, which didn't know that she was on that Sons and Daughters that you told me about.
So if you've ever heard me talking about Fiona on that show, that's her. I was like really psyched when Via Vision, love you guys, started releasing full seasons of that or full collections of it. I mean, they go seasons, they collection seasons. It's each year. So yeah.
Right. So yeah, it she was on there from 82 to 87. I didn't get her name. What was her name on there?
Fiona.
Fiona. I also found out that she was married to a man, and then she had a partner, a woman that she was on 96 with,
Yeah, she comes
named
into it a little bit later.
Bunny Brooke was her real
Bunny
name.
Brooke. Yes, I love Bunny Brooke. She even had a, on a side note, she even had like a quick stint there. I think it was about a year or two on E Street in the late 80s, early 90s. And like, I like, she's sort of a bit like an auntie character in that, I think, but like, I love her. I love her and everything.
Nice. So Pat McDonald, I did find out she died in 1990 at 67 years old due to pancreatic cancer, sadly. Her partner Bunny Brooke died 10 years later, but I didn't look up Bunny Brooke, so she's not on officially on the show yet. But when she's on, I'll look her up and we'll learn some more information about her. Unless you people out there just want to Google yourselves, that's fine too. All right, so
It's pretty interesting just the way all the shows crisscross and like all the And I'll never
So,
meet McDonald. I was like, that's one of my thingos is that I was born, I was like I had what, like 2 or 3 years old when she passed away, and then grow up
right.
loving the shows. And then I'm like, I can't even go to like a convention somewhere down south and meet her, you know, or something like that.
Right. So episode six picks up. Lucy gets a call. Mark comes in, says the baby died. Vera comes in. He's blaming himself about it. He wants to move and such. Lucy and Alf talk. He's got $250. He does not trust Australian banks. He wants to keep everything, all his cash himself. Doesn't like
Oh,
anything
they're
about
insidious.
Australia.
It's an insidious lot we are. No, I actually chuckle because like that's I was it's something I'll make mention of as we go through the episodes, but like Alf's fuzzy, like the constant bitching and stuff, and I chuckled myself where he doesn't actually trust the concept of interest rates, and I'm just like, ah, like that's so funny.
Yeah, it really is. And we are in 1972. I don't know how good that, stuff was back then,
Well, Alf also, like, Alf and Lucy also look like they're a bit older as well.
Yeah. Lucy says she might buy herself an evening gown with that money.
Why not? You what? As he stares back at it.
Mark blows off Rosie. Bev and Janie and Don. Oh no, wait. We're in Bev and Janie's apartment. They're just chatting. Don comes by for bread, and they talk about her job.
Yeah, so it's the mo yeah, it's the morning, and he comes down and is basically whinging about how Bruce didn't go shopping, and so he doesn't have
Yeah.
toast. And so that's just like that opening. That's just that scene where Bev is just like, so she sort of mentioned Don, I think, in the earlier episode, saying he was nice looking, and now we actually start seeing her like outright. Like it starts there, it gets like outrageous flirting to heavy advances as it goes on.
Well, Vera goes to Aldo's store. She wants wine for the dinner with Lucy. Lucy invited her to dinner. Mark comes in. He's depressed about losing the baby, pretty much. Helen wants to come home and he doesn't want her to be there. He wants to go somewhere else because he feels like, he's, you would think it would be like the opposite. Like you would think she'd want to move, but she wants to be back home after losing the baby and all. Bev and Don talk on the steps. She invites him in. Alf wonders why Lucy invited Vera to dinner. That would be an extra mouth to feed. He said.
He's just having his typical characteristic whinge, and him and because him and Lucy, they get a little bit more tame with each other, like balanced out. But like they constant, this is just their vibe. They bicker at each other. Alf's a whinging old bastard. Like he
Oh,
really
yeah, I
is.
can see.
Yeah, it's a character trait. And Lucy is just that balance to it. So when he contradicts himself, she calls him on it. She straight out just calls him on it. She's like, "Oh, really? Really? Wow!" Like.
Don, I guess Don ends up going to Bev's apartment and he like helps her zip up or zip down her dress, like unzip after, I guess, work or whatever. She cozies up next to him. She goes into Janie's room and then Don leaves. So I guess not much,
Okay, so
much. Go
like she
ahead.
got home from, it's just more Don stuff. So like she gets home, and sort of like, oh, hey, Don, like blah, blah, blah. And she does the flirty thing, like help him zip me. And then, but she hasn't checked to see if Janie's home. So she goes in there, talks to Janie, like, oh, hey, girl, how you going? Sort of thing. How's the day? Janie's just studying, doing her thing. And it's just all these like little basic character interactions. But all the while, like, Bev's making those like jokes about this man she has in the lounge. Janie thinks that it's Alex. No, not Alex. No, I think it is Alex at first, because like she's expecting him to show. She's like,
Yeah, she's
oh
waiting
no.
for
And
him.
then and then Don comes in, blah, blah, blah. I actually love some of these scenes and the way Don is so befuddlingly sort of like he's charmed, but he just doesn't know how to handle it. And
Yeah,
yeah,
he really doesn't. He like runs from her pretty much.
it's pretty cute. It's pretty cute.
Lucy turns off the TV. Alf gets mad because he's just watching it. They have like you said, they're just going like character interaction, nothing major.
Yeah, well, Vera is showing up for dinner, stuff like that.
Vera gets there. They're excited, or else Lucy's excited that she brought wine with her. It's like some kind of 1972 vintage something, chateau something.
Well, Aldo at that party mentioned that he brews his own wine, basically makes his own wine. So she goes down there and like hits him up to see if he's got anything that she can grab off of him. So that was like in that earlier scene you mentioned.
Alex, the producer, gets there. He seems to be very into Bev.
Very.
And he ends up calling her a cold little bitch, rubs her leg, goes to kiss her. Janie comes in and ruins that mood. Thank goodness.
Well, like even there though, Bev sort of is flirting with him, but she's kind of letting him know that she's not really interested. So she's just like, he goes, "Oh, what would I do if I did this?" And she was like, "Well, you're sitting there. You've got to put I imagine your arm will have to rest somewhere. But I would turn and sip my drink." Like she's just trying to sort of like it's like a weird, polite way of saying, "I'm not interested."
She needs to be a little bit more forward with him.
Oh no, I don't, yeah.
Alex and Janie bump into Mark.
Well, at that
That's
point,
all
it's
I
still all
have.
again. So
Aldo and
Alex and
Mark.
Janie, sorry. Alex and Janie bump into Mark, and we just sort of hear more about Helen's condition. So
Helen,
apparently, she's like a catatonic dis. What was it? Catatonic withdrawal or something like that.
what? Aldo and Mark hang out. I have with wine. Were they drinking wine too?
Mark's depressed. Rose is going to be gone for the night, so Aldo's just like, "Look, you've had some really terrible things happen. Why don't you just come down for dinner?" Doesn't go well.
Rose comes in. Aldo says, just like a woman, they change their mind. There we go with the sexism. Rosa Mark talk, and she loves him basically, still crushing on him, whatever. He says, "You're crazy, you have nothing to offer, no experience." He drives her off. Also
It's pretty
found out
awful.
that she's a virgin, and
Yeah.
Aldo overhears everything, and the end of episode six.
Yeah. Mark's pretty awful to that.
Anything else on that episode you want to add?
It's just a lot of context episode driving home that stories are carrying through. Like, just in like before dinner, like you have Alf talking to Lucy and they talk about Vera and it's all that bickering, but then like they just start reiterating that he goes, "Oh, has the call stopped? Has she called the police?" He doesn't sort of understand why. And they just it's just that thing of like reiterating the little plot lines that are weaving through the building.
So episode seven opens. I like these episodes kind of like go into the next one, like it ends and then
Yeah.
it goes back a little each one.
Yeah.
Typical soap style stuff. Aldo wants him out. You spoke to her like she was a prostitute, like she's dirt. Get out of my house before I kill you, basically. So he's
Basically, yeah.
pissed. And Mark's
Oh, yeah.
upset about it because he actually likes Aldo and he respects Aldo, so he's upset. But I mean, if you did respect Aldo, you really should have been a little bit nicer to Rosie. I mean, you totally told her off in like the
Yeah.
worst way.
Well,
I
the thing is,
mean,
like this weird separation where he somehow thinks that Rose is sort of scheming to hold on to him while she's just a lovesick girl. You know what I mean? Like, it's like he's supposed to be older. And I think that's the part that here where Aldo drives that home is that a lot of the onus up until this point has kind of been placed on Rose being the pursuer. And he's just like this, oh, my, I'm this poor, horny husband, you know, like, and stuff like, and like, so it's really overt, but it's also, they have these little balancing moments where Aldo's just like, no, my daughter is an experience. She's the virgin. You're a grown man who's married. You know better, essentially. You know, and Mark can't really handle it, you know, in a lot of ways. That's why he ends up like shutting the F up, as you know, like, yeah,
So
it's yeah.
we get into Herb and Dory's apartment. She's hearing something.
As she
Phone
does.
rings. The phone rings. She wants him to go look and see what's going on. He doesn't want to go. He's like, no, you know, that's their business. He's more like the sane one, it seems like. And also the one that, like, I think somebody says eventually, like, he's always trying to make Dory happy.
Yeah.
And he goes along with all her little bullshit schemes and whatever she's pulling out, you know, at her ass at the time. So this part was funny. So like Dory ends up scaring Herb. Vera scares Dory, like in this weird step moment. They're like around the steps or whatever.
Yeah.
Vera has like a tray of tea or something for Mark because she, you know, he's
Yeah.
depressed and she just wants to help him out.
Yeah.
And then it was just like workmen making noise. Is the place, it's a massage parlor that they're
It's
working
not.
on?
It's not a massage parlor. It's what Dory thinks is going down there, and to her, a massage parlor means happy massage parlor.
Right, but it's not a massage parlor that they're making.
No, so I think in like episode 10, excuse me, I think in like episode 10, you have Don and Bruce make a remark about how it's actually going to be a chemist. Like, and Dory's been running around and getting people get like, you know, losing her hair over it and stuff, and they laugh about it.
Back then, like massage parlors were undercover for prostitute rings and all of that. It's been in like
Oh
every
yeah.
cop show on air back in the 70s.
Matlock Police was very big back then too.
So Vera and Mark, they have tea together, or whatever she made. I'm assuming it's tea. And
It
they
looks
talk
like
about
tea.
Aldo. He worries about him and Helen coming home. Basically, you know, we're learning there is a little bit more depth to Mark than just being a complete douchebag.
Yeah.
And he wants to go back to teaching. I guess he stopped teaching. I guess, you know, whatever. While he's in mourning his baby and stuff. Bruce and Don have breakfast. They talk about Bev, like, hey, why don't you take Bev to the movies or something, or to the pictures, they called it.
That's right, because they're alluding to Bruce's boss coming over for a little fun night. I, yeah, I, yeah, keep going, keep going. I'm excited about this.
Aldo and Rose talk. He's upset that she stayed out and that she isn't a virgin anymore. And he just wants her to settle down and marry a nice Jewish boy.
Pretty much.
Dory goes and talks to the workmen. I thought they mentioned like massage parlors in there. She goes to Herb all upset, and he doesn't seem to care
Well, he
this
doesn't
time.
really. He doesn't really like.
I guess when she keeps going on about the same thing, he's kind of he gets over it. He cares for a minute and then he's over it.
He tries to calm her down a lot of the time because she works herself up.
Right. Don left Bruce a recipe to make his married girlfriend, Maggie.
Yeah, so she wanted like a meal or something. They mentioned that she's like really high maintenance and like all that. They con then it's like a persistent joke that we see leading up to this character's appearance.
She's a douche. She gets there, they kiss, she strips down, and dinner is ready. So it seems like Bruce is the one in this situation where he wants the relationship to be further, and she's like, I'm married, you know this. No.
But he also asked her for money.
Like you're my side piece. So yeah, so and then well
He
he
also
did,
asked her for money for a
but then
painting.
he But he said that also, he's like, you're making me feel like a gigolo. So I'm like, well, isn't that what a gigolo is? Like when you're doing it for money?
Exactly. He's trying to, like, it's like when she hits him with the truth, he's like guilting her. Because later on, we find that Bruce is like checking his time and his watch and everything. Like, I feel this thing of like, it's weird. I find Bruce to be very to and fro with her, you know,
Right.
like he plays the game because this is this character, as we are introduced, and like is Maggie Cameron. Maggie Cameron, I'm just making sure I get the full name correct, is portrayed by Bettina Catherine Welch, who passed away in 93. And I just wanted to double check all that before I said it because this lady is phenomenal. I Maggie Bloody Cameron, as the show quote, like it's a thing quote for the show. She's the high-powered villainess of the show.
Okay.
So,
I can see it. I see bitch already out of her.
oh yeah, she does. And even in the episodes that we will be watched, so obviously, like we don't have every episode or anything like that. Umbrella Entertainment only released these three collections in their arcs, like the beginning. The Pantyhose Strangler, blah blah blah, and the film. So there's only sort of that's what's available, but enough of it is there that you do get a good vibe on Maggie's character. Also, Umbrella, if you happened to be coming across this, it would be really awesome if you release the rest of the episodes. Or hey, just give us the last 30 or 50 in like a 4-disc collection, just like these ones. Like it would be great, guys. Just saying.
So where were we? So
I know, I completely derailed that then.
totally. No,
Sorry.
I'm kidding. So,
So yeah, no, we were talking about Bruce and Maggie and their dynamic. They're making out. He asks her for money. He's like, "Oh, you treat me like a gigolo," sort of thing.
right.
And yeah.
So Bev and Don talk about a movie. I don't know if they ever went to the movies. I don't know.
So there's a little tiny scene there where you do see Don and Bev like head off. And they're just doing their banter. They come back, and I think she's sort of talking about the movie. She didn't really like the movie. They're just small chat, small talk. And then
Right.
she, yeah. And what was it? Bruce is still in there with Maggie. Don's like, "Well, I can't go home," and she's like, "Well, come in for a beer." Zip, you know,
Right.
like.
Rose and Vera talk about Aldo going on about marriage. And Mark, men are bastards. Vera says, "Oh, she's only hurting herself."
Rose is very angry, very young, and very just angry. And in all honesty, I'm not gonna lie, she probably had one of the worst first times. Like, it's not so much the moment, but the aftermath. He's horrible to her. Like, Mark is horrible to her. Like, it's so out of line. If anyone, he just cuts so deep immediately. Just,
Well, he screwed the wrong pooch.
yes.
And then, so Mark worries about Helen coming home still. That's continuing. The doctor says she's ready, that they can have more kids, right?
So
And
the doctor's all very matter of fact about it. He's just like, she's recovered, she's physically fine, and she's saying she wants to go home, and you're saying you don't want her there. And like, if you're worried about like things like the kids, she can just have more kids. He's just being very practical, and there's no bedside manner with this dude.
Well, they can't keep her is basically what he's saying. And this guy, I mean, Mark's kind of stupid. Like, they can't just
Well,
keep you if you're fine to go. Like, if you're coherent enough to go home, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
oh no, I do understand all that. It's just more of like his general demeanor in the whole situation. He's just like he didn't even ask like, what are you actually concerned about? He's more like it's more like a sinister accusation where he's like, why don't you want a home?
Right.
You know, like I just think it's
So,
funny the way he puts it across, that's all. But you're right, you're right.
yeah, that's where it ends. And then episode 8 starts with them again. And then he's like, you can collect your wife, Mark. Bruce and Maggie have a romantic dinner. They kiss. So I guess they're still seeing each other. And he always locks Dawn out, I guess, when this happens, when she comes over for her flings.
I think it's
And this
like the
is.
room. I think it's just that roommate thing of like, oh, I've got someone over, you know, like leave us alone sort of thing.
And this is where he says he feels like a gigolo, which I
Yeah.
guess he is.
Bruce is, man. He really is.
Bev and Don get to her place. This is where they kind of are, while she's coming on to him strong and all that. Janie's not home yet. Bev asks, why doesn't he make Bruce stay in the hall sometimes? Bev said she would go for him, basically. I mean, she said, "Do you know who I would go for?" And then he like runs away. He laughs and runs off.
He does. He does. It's so good. I love Dong, by the way. Like, he's a staple character. He does stay with the show the whole way through.
Well, don't tell me. You're gonna
No,
spoil
I
it because
just meant
I'm
like.
thinking people might. You can't say that though because there's killers coming, and I'm not sure who's gonna die. And now I know that he's not gonna die. Thanks. Gotta watch it.
There is the end
So,
show.
Herb and Dory talk about campaigning for getting noise out. That's where she goes around with everybody signing a petition type situation. Bruce and Maggie continue to make out. She says she's got to go home. He says he needs her, something about lousy timing. I
So
guess,
yeah,
I
like
don't know.
it gets like 10 to 11 or something, and she has to rush home because that's when hubby's going to be home, and he's just like,
It's
oh, drat.
funny. I like seeing this situation for a man though, because like it's usually the opposite. Like JR, you know?
Oh, Maggie very much treats the boys a bit like that.
Bev and Don talk about her pics, because like the pics came out, you know, her semi-nude, nude, fully blown nude, whatever's happening there. Janie
Yeah,
comes in. Janie
it's
comes in and says her rehearsal was inspired. I put make face at T. What?
Beg your pardon?
I put make face at T. I don't know
Oh,
why.
yeah, Janie's coming in feeling like all happy with like how things are going with like her to drama like her study and like her auditions and stuff like that. And
Right.
I think that's the scene where Bev is also sort of like just quizzing her on like what she thinks is going down with Alex. Like she's like, you know, like, are you sure he's like up and on the up and up, you know?
Yeah, this is like one of those things where never, like, it's a communication thing. Like, she should really be upfront with what's going on. Like, but they're not. They don't talk about things. It's weird. They talk about, like, nonsense.
Well, like Janie even shuts down. Like she's just sort of like, yes, he's fine. Like she stutters for a moment, but she's like, no, he's fine. When like every indication at the start gave her the impression that he wasn't. Like Janie is incredibly naive.
Right. Yeah, I can
Like
tell.
incredibly, unbelievably, you might say, naive.
Right.
I know it's a part of how they're writing the character and like, you know, TV's done differently and everything, but she does come off like a little extra naive. Like Bev is actually sort of more naive, like is also carrying those sort of that sort of approach to the situation as well. It's just a little bit more grown up than Janie's, you know?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, yeah.
So Maggie leaves. Bruce ends up popping into Bev's because I guess he knows that Don's there.
Yeah.
They just bullshit a little bit. They leave.
Or we'll make fun of him for Maggie.
Bev wants to know what Alex is at after. And she also says you've been warned. Like, so she warns Jane about him. But like again, why don't you just tell him the situation? Like, this is what he said to me. Like, you know what I mean? But maybe she needs, maybe it's one of those things you need to find out for yourself. Cause like you said, she's naive. And if Bev tells her, maybe she'll think like, oh, Bev's just jealous, or Bev wants, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know what she's thinking.
As the episodes play out, like, even though the situations are a bit odd, like, in the way they're delivered, as this sort of situation does play out, I find that, like, if you sort of extrapolate Janie's situation further, you see Bev in a similar one, like, later on. You know, like, it's varying degrees. That's what I mean. Like, this show's very sort of open and blunt with its delivery on a lot of things, like, and like with sexism and how sex is even perceived by the two genders. You know, like, you have Mark's reaction blaming Rose, then you have Aldo, who's like, no, you're responsible for yourself. Like, you've always got these weird but very, like, loud both sides type thing. And this plays out.
It kind of cracked me up that they were, like, showing nudity, but at the same time, the curses were bleeped out. I'm like...
Yeah.
So feel like it would be the opposite.
So, I know that, across Australia, at least, there's different states, I think, censored it in different ways. So, like, the episodes are cropped. It's what these... I think it's pretty much what they've been able to get a hold of. Because I think that there's... There's an episode up with an attack up coming up. I'm not saying anything more, but there's no footage. So there were parts of the place that it was censored in different ways in different states. And a surviving cut of the raw footage or like the actual scene doesn't actually exist, or they haven't found it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's things like that.
So Dory makes a call about the massage parlor, or what she thinks is a massage parlor. She says she'll take care of it herself.
Yeah.
That's where she starts the petition, I believe.
Yeah.
Aldo asks Don about the restaurant. He still wants to, you know, get this going. And Don's a lawyer, so he could help him with that. Dory goes to Vera's about the parlor. She's trying to get everybody involved.
I love the way Vera just plays with her and just makes fun of her. It's so funny. And just the where she just gets so haughty about it all when she like picks up that Vera's just like pulling her leg. It's so funny. Like
right. She says, you know what they are, sends her off. Vera's phone rings, crank caller again.
Yes. Why did you say anything?
Yeah. Bruce is in Aldo's, and the petition. Herb is there with the petition and all that stuff. Dory comes in. Bruce says he is the first customer with the massage parlor, just to like piss her off.
Yeah.
Alex comes into Bev's. He locks the door behind him. Dory, Aldo, and Herb check out the massage parlor. And then Alex and Bev are talking. He basically forces himself on her. He like kind of holds her mouth shut or her throat or something, and
he like pulls her arms behind her back. He like pulls her arms behind her back and grabs her by the throat, and she's like, "I'll scream," and he's like, "You wouldn't dare." And I was just like, "Oh my god, this fucking guy."
Yeah, well, I don't blame him 100% because coming up in the next episode here, so episode 9. Janie comes home basically just in time. And why didn't she say anything? That would have been the first thing out of my mouth. See, he had me held up. Like, why wouldn't she say anything? She doesn't say a peep.
Yeah, she just sort of doesn't say it. She's just like,
doesn't say a peep.
And then she...
He runs off to the bathroom. She's like, oh, yeah, Alex is here. He's in the bathroom. And whatever. Then we go to the next scene.
So, like, it must be something. Like, I'm sure that it is the show being over the top, because it is a very over the top show. But there must be something there as far as that type of culture back then that is sort of just inherently not present in things now. You know, like,
Right.
there's no, you know, there's a lot of ambiguity here in terms of like Bev's flirting, and that like really sort of plays into a lot of vociferous voices out there in those types of debates. And it's just really interesting how like it doesn't really sort of, I don't really feel like it endorses anything. It's just showing something, but it's just interesting how it's a lot blunter than it is now, when you can argue that you're allowed to arguably get away with more as far as censorship goes and stuff like that. I don't
Right.
know. And it's not like this a bad or a good thing. I just think it's like a really interesting dynamic, because like
Yeah.
even just with Australian TV shows, I don't find that any shows outside of prime time ones that were kind of, or like streaming shows that are geared towards that sort of like, you know, oh, the gritty sort of drug sex environments, outside of those actual shows, I don't really think that there's a drama or a soapy that's kind of like in this vein, that's kind of like just been straightforward with it.
Yeah.
It's just
So,
interesting when I reflect, that's all. I could be wrong. Let me know if anybody
Lucy
knows
and
more.
Alf. Lucy and Alf talk about money and how he hates Australia again. Bev looks at her pics at Bruce's and she loves them. And then there's one like really dirty one. I'm guessing it's her cooter. Not really
Yeah, I'd say
sure.
so. Yeah.
And then she
She
finds out
laughs
her
it off.
pic. She finds out her pic made the cover of a magazine. I didn't catch the
Yeah.
name of the magazine. Did you know which one it was? Is it a real
No,
magazine?
it wasn't. I'm not sure. I think it's actually one that Maggie owns, because Bruce is one of her photographers, but I can't
Oh.
remember. And they do mention it though. I didn't catch it.
So I didn't know this girl at first, but Don helps some girl upstairs. She seems very upset and distraught.
Yeah.
Bev sees a dirty picture of her. That's when, and she says, "You filthy man."
Yeah.
We find out the lady is Ethel, who is Lucy and Alf's daughter. She's
Yes,
at the number 8 apartment, that's theirs, and she's crying, knocking on the door. She's upset about her man Kevin. Apparently he's been fired from his job and she's basically there for money.
yeah.
Alf says he's a pain in the ass, and they can't afford to pay the rent, so basically she wants rent money. Bruce and Bev bust on Don because they're
Beg
messing
your
with
pardon?
him. Bruce and Bev, they bust on Don. They're like
Oh,
messing with him, but nothing major happened. Ethel tries to make Alf think that Kevin was going to get another job soon. It's always like one of those, I guess it's like what is that really like, I can't explain it, like an abusive relationship almost, kind of. Like she's making excuses for this guy and whatever.
they're just kind of like, the way Alf talks is just like her boyfriend's just kind of a no-hoper. He'd rather party up and drink with his mates than go out and actually provide for his family. And then obviously Alf goes into a tirade about how all of Australian men are like that, and stuff like that. But it's just all that stuff. Your boyfriend's a shit bag, basically. Get a better man. Like, well, it's not her boyfriend, beg your pardon, it's her husband.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, her husband.
No, I was saying the boyfriend too, but I was like, no, it's actually Ethel's husband.
I actually just said her man. I didn't even say what it was. Because I guess I wasn't positive at the time.
it's just all me.
Janie and Alex are out to eat. And he says that he saw Bev the other night and finds out that she never said anything about what
He's
happened.
probing. He's probing.
Oh, for sure. Because now he knows he could probably get away with a nice rate.
Yeah.
He also, they have a weird conversation about sex and nudity. And he's like,
They
"Oh, you
talk.
should show your tits because it's funny." Like, what?
Yeah, he tries to explain like the tone of this scene, despite the fact that she's uncomfortable, and then tells her that he's growing weary of her. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, basically, like, you're acting like you don't have any experience with this sort of stuff, and that you have never, you know, you're not a sexual person, essentially.
Yeah.
You could be a virgin. And it's just this awful thing where he's just basically trying to make her feel bad for not wanting to show him her tits.
Yeah, and it's working because you could tell
Yeah,
the look on her
it is.
face.
Yeah, it is. She sells that look really. It's, you know what it is, man? It's that downward look when someone is just hit with like this, again type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and the actress, sorry, the actor portrays it really well.
Yeah. What was I? Rose comes into Bev's for advice about leaving. She wants still wants to leave home.
Yeah.
Bev mentions her mom. Her mom ends up calling as they're talking, and she's like, oh, the bitch
Yeah,
wants me home. She basically tells her mom that she'll go home for the night. Do we get to meet her mom? I'm guessing
we
we
do, we
do.
do. So episode 450 is, and her mother also makes an appearance in the movie.
Okay.
Those are the ones I can remember off the movies.
Alf wants Ethel to stay with them, but basically says that he'll pay their rent or whatever. So he's gonna do whatever it takes, basically pay them to break up.
Yeah,
Lucy's
so he's
like,
gonna, he says that Ethel can move in with them, they can get rid of the flat, and Evan can just go stay with one of his mates until he gets a job. Can live off the doll.
And Lucy's like, what are you up to? Maggie comes to Bruce, says about playing, she has to play wife tonight. I guess she can't stay with them long.
So she comes and actually has that painting that he wanted the $500 for. And he's like super happy about it, and all that jazz. And he's just like, oh, come and sit. And she's like, no, I don't have the time. I've got to go play the dutiful wife tonight. Hubby's having a few mates over for sort of like a deal or something like that, or a meeting or something. And I've got to go talk to these boring blokes, sort of thing. And yeah,
Lucy
I love
answers
her. I just
Vera's.
love every scene she's in, honestly. She just is so. And there's not a whole lot of swearing and everything like that, but there's a couple of lines throughout the show that she, even in these episodes, she just cuts, and you can just the delivery. It's like acid
Right.
tongue. I love Maggie Cameron.
Lucy answers Vera's phone. It's a lady, Kathy, or whatever, and she wants a reading. And then she finds out that Vera is still getting the calls. So she says, like, go to the police. Like, what are you doing?
This is that scene where she's like, oh, it could be Lucy's big doom and gloom thing, like she did earlier, where she's like, it could be like a stalker, a rapist, a
Yeah.
homicidal murderer. And it just keeps getting worse. And Vera's just looking at her. I was laughing. I
And
was like,
she's
yeah.
pretty much right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she hasn't called the police. Vera's about to go to bed. She hears like some noise or whatever. She unplugged her phone, so I guess because so that she wouldn't be awakened from the caller. There's like thumps around. This man comes in and like stands at the door, and end of episode
Yeah. I do love Lucy
nine.
when she does that. And then you're not wrong. Like it did play out that way. Like a creep's in a like her apartment. But just the way it escalates, she's like, oh, it could be just a stalker. I'm like, oh, what if it's this? Oh my God, what if it's this?
Right.
And I'm just like
So
anyway.
episode 10 starts. Vera hangs up with Lucy again, unplugs the phone. This man is at the door. His name's Harry, apparently, or wherever he's at. Is it the doorway? It looked like he was at the way. It looked
So he's
creepy,
at her
however it
bedroom
was.
door. So, like, she's heard someone
Bedroom
creeping
door.
through the apartment. And yeah, she turns, does the big dramatic scream because he's at the bedroom door.
I don't know how big these apartments are. They don't look very big, but they seem bigger inside than it appears to be. But yeah, I basically put she knows him. I didn't know who it was, so and he basically rips her clothes off and throws her on the bed.
So it's her husband, the one that she talked about that just took off.
Right. Which
And he
we
comes
find
up.
we don't find we don't find out right away though. We don't find out that
Oh,
till
wasn't it
later.
in that scene? No, that was that scene. He walks in and he's like, oh, is it like the color of my m oh yeah, no, like she knows him. We show that she knows
Yeah,
him. But
but
he's
we
like,
don't
oh,
know
is it
it's
the
her
color?
husband.
He hits her with the money lines and all that before he tears her clothes off. Because afterwards she's angry at
Right.
it. So like
Right.
he's like, oh, the color is my color of my money you want to see and all that, which is funny because Australia, we have very colorful money. But like
I think I
and
have
then
an
like
Australian bill somewhere.
and he basically calls her a slut a bunch of times and she's like, get out, I've had enough of this sort of thing. And then it's the big psh, and he throws her on the bed.
Yeah. So Aldo's talks to Rose. He says he wants to take or he wants her to basically like get rid of Mark somehow. It looks like She's like, take a knife to him. That's what we did in the old country. He talks her into helping with the restaurant. That's going to happen eventually. She's still kind of like not wanting to be there.
Aldo strikes me as a man who chose peace at some point in his life.
Yeah, and he says we can make the place for young people. You can meet a bunch of people, blah blah blah. Tries to make it look good so she'll
Yeah,
want to stay around.
she's depressed and she wants to like spread her wings and get out and all that. You know, she's had sex for the first time. Her dad is overbearing, hovers constantly, and he's like, "No, look, well, when we get the restaurant, you know, it'll be better because we'll be around a more variety of people." Like, you know, and she's just like, "When, Papa? When?" Like, you know,
Right.
she's just getting driven nuts.
Right.
And yeah.
The next scene we see Harry raped Vera. He like just gets up, whatever. He says he still loves her a lot, and he seems almost just obsessive about her. And she said she wants to hate if that was considered love,
Yeah, because he
or
goes, "I
she would
love you."
choose
She's like,
hate.
"Yeah, every day."
Yeah.
So
We
this is
find out that
all
he
like,
was gone for a year.
yeah.
And she was never unfaithful to him, and I just put he crazy.
He isn't crazy. He is actually insane. But
Yeah,
through the
I'm sure.
dialogue and stuff like that, she talks about the past. Part of her past
Right.
came up, and he couldn't handle it. And it's
Right, like,
basically, yeah. Like,
yeah.
and all that. That's why he's come in with the dollar bills. That's why he's called her a slut. And that's why he's basically thrown her down, because those are all
Did he not?
justifications for that.
But did he know that about her beforehand? Like they were married.
Presumably not, because she says, "The past can come up and slap you right in the face. I don't blame you for leaving. I don't blame you for leaving. I just, you know, it's because of what, or because of that. But you don't come back and attack me. You don't come back and, you know, like give me lewd phone calls and make me fear for my safety, essentially, you know."
Right.
And she does hit him with all that. Vera doesn't, like, it's weird. It's weirdly passive because she doesn't go off and attack him. She doesn't. It's so like, it has that vibe of the times when husbands were entitled to their wives' bodies. Yet
Right.
she's so angry about him. It's almost like something that they would fight over, not leave and press charges over. That's what's wild. Like, and
Right.
the dynamic just creates so many more colors in the scene. Like, Vera doesn't really pull punches with what he did, and he's sitting there guilting. He's sitting there being like, "Oh, forgive me," and she's like, "Oh my God."
Yeah.
It's weird. It's so different looking back on it, looking at it like in now time, you know.
Now. So Rose talks about going to the beach. Addo says go. Mark comes in. Addo says you're a disgrace, like he wants to get out, whatever. Mark's
Yeah.
basically there because he wants him to keep quiet when Helen comes home. He doesn't want Helen to find out about or talk about her and Rose because she already knows. But it almost seems like she might forget. I'm not sure about that situation, but we'll find that out in a little bit.
So she's, yeah.
He says Mark is the only one that can hurt her, basically.
Yeah, he's not going to go out of his way to cause trouble. He's not going to sit there and like make sure that Rose is around while Helen's around. It's like, it's that vibe. He's like, that's why he's like, "Oh, you think I'm like you? You think I'm going to start trouble? You think that I'm going to use people?" He's like, "No, no, no,
Right.
no. Like, I am not such a man." And then
And
he tells him to get.
the next scene, we have Herb listening at the door like his wife. And then I think it's at, is it at the worker's place or was it the girl's place?
I
Danny
think
and
no,
Vera's.
it's I think Dory was supposed to be helping Mark with the cradle from the baby, the dead baby.
Oh, okay. And then he
Yeah,
ends
because he
up
comes out with like
falling.
both the sides of the cradle. He comes out with them.
And then they show like Janie exercising. Dory comes in to talk about the trash, finds Bev's nude pics. She takes a pic. I'm guessing she took the worst pic. I'm not really sure.
Oh, I love all of this. I love all of this
Yeah,
whole
it was
thing
really funny. She
play
go she goes to Herb and she's like he's like, "Well, show me." And she's like, "I don't know. It'll turn you or something
It'll
into a
corrupt you,
pervert.
Herb. I
It'll
know you
corrupt
too
you."
well.
She's like, "Yeah, I don't trust you with it or whatever." And then she like shows him real fast, like
Yeah, he's like, "Well, I'm not going to tell you my secret then, Dory." And what secret, Herb?
And then yeah, and then he sees the picture and then he's like, "Dreadful, dreadful. Got any more?"
Yeah, like, oh my God. And he's like, where did you get it? Up there, I found it. Oh, I'll go get their trash. No help. Like, it's so funny and
Yeah.
stupid. Like, what a cracking.
Lucy's boss ends up going to the laundromat and checks on her. I guess he has to do his rounds or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's just that little thing, and she's hitting him
I
over
put
the head.
he seems like a creep. She
He's a dude.
asks to borrow $100 against her next two checks, for
Yeah.
her daughter. He basically says, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Dory goes to Lucy about Vera. She shows the pic of Bev. This is crazy. Lucy asks if she is jealous.
Yeah, because she has the complete opposite reaction. She's just like, oh, look. And then,
She's
like, and then you,
beautiful. She has a
yeah,
beautiful
she's got a
body,
beautiful
she
body.
says.
Yeah.
And
Oh,
she
there
says,
was
are you
something like,
jealous?
yes, like, and then she just storms off, like, ugh. There
Yeah.
is something I wanted to bring up a lot, just over these last few episodes, too, particularly, I think, in things like this. You see a lot of the older characters, outside of sort of the presumably well-traveled ones like Vera, who's had hard times type of thing. You see a lot of this kind of clash of old and new. You've got Aldo and Alf who keep pushing these sort of old ways. Alf the longing for his old ways, Aldo not being able to come out of his ways, and they're dealing Lucy being kind of like this voice of reason, but like. He doesn't understand banks and stuff like that, and Lucy's just like, you're being irrational, and all that. Like, there's this sort of element. Rose, she's didn't have the best experience, but she's starting to become like a young woman and experience sexuality and those feelings and what goes with that, and
Right.
her father's freaking out over it. In this, you have nudity and what's considered lewd and stuff like that. You've got Dory, who's incredibly conservative, and it's like, oh no, this is deeply pornographic. And then you have Lucy, who's just like, wow, what a beautiful body, and
Right.
even though they're in the same age, but you have a lot of these clashes here going on. And I actually found it really interesting, because you think about it, it was 1972. I mean, like, that was the era for all that stuff, but oddly enough, I think the show manages to display the two sort of the sort of depression. Well, even Alf even mentions like the economy, the Australian economy is going to go to shit. It's it's this close to depression era. It's this close to depression money,
Right.
and all that. And it's like you've got these older characters who have come out of the effects of those times, and you've got these young ones that just kind of want to break free.
Yeah, I feel this is like a show ahead of its time type situation.
Yeah, like
Because that's
definitely.
why I said to you before in the last one, I'm like, it seems like yes, it's in black and white, but it appears almost like it was more recent. Like
Yeah.
the way the stories are, like it doesn't seem like too far off of today's type of stuff, you know?
Yeah. So like, and like I said, they are very blunt, and it kind of has this like vaudevillian vibe and comedy about it. Like, it's
Yeah.
definitely like over the top show. It does, but it does well in these. If everything's going to be a big, so because it's got that 70s sort of exploitation vibe, especially the movie, you'll see what I mean.
Right.
But in saying that, though, all those movies, the horror movies of the time, those other things and all that, they were all very exploitation, but they made massive statements about something here or there. I feel like Number
Right.
96, they're sort of like, we're going to do both. We're going to have this one yelling at this one over here about this. And then we're just going to, we might have a voice of reason, but we're also going to show someone coming at them from the opposite. And like I said, delivered very bluntly at times, but
Yeah,
it's just interesting.
I have no idea what's going to happen on this show. Like, I don't know where anything's going, and I like that, you know? Let's finish the episode and then we'll talk a little bit more about stuff.
Yeah.
So Rose tells Aldo that she met someone. I guess she was at the beach and met somebody. Alf comes to Lucy at work. He says he'll give Ethel the money, but wants it back. He wants money back, and then he puts down Australia again.
He basically comes down and he's just come to his senses, and he basically does, he sort of just does what they said in the first place, like what Ethel said in the
Right.
first place. Like, it would be a loan, we'd pay it back, but he has to come to it on his own. And then he starts whinging about Australia again and our craftsmanship. Lucy, the voice of reason, is it's an American one. He's like, well, see, that's what I mean. The Australians copy everybody. And he's just like, they copy the English too. And he's like, that's what I'm saying, Lucy.
I am a little upset that, like, with how it ended, like, I won't be able to see the next episode because Helen gets home and she's happy to be home and everybody's welcoming her home. And Rose comes out of the apartment, sees Helen, and she even asked about Rose. She's like, oh, where's Rose or whatever. And then
She's
she like
kind of
turns
there, but not
around
there.
like, oh shit, and it ends. So I'll never see how that works out.
So episode 13, like, not to, like, we'll save that obviously for like the next episode and stuff. But episode 13, so this is it's close enough that it does kind of the opening, it does give you a little bit of background of what's been happening with Helen because Vera and Mark are chatting about it. So I just wanted to throw that out there. There are things like that. These episodes are partially disconnected, but they do make efforts to choose the ones. They've not just chosen the ones that where it's like, oh, this first particular type of character is introduced, whatever. It also contextualizes a lot of the stuff going on around it.
So that's what I want to talk to the audience listening about. So what we're gonna do, we're gonna cover the next six episodes that are available
Of the
to watch.
beginning.
There's only six before the movie, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about them, and then Bevan is gonna try to fill in everything that he knows leading up to the movie.
I'd
And
just
then
like
we're
to
gonna
probably point
cover the movie as well after that, and then and so on. So that's what's going to happen with this, because we don't have, unfortunately, we can't find these episodes anywhere, not even on YouTube. If anybody else knows a secret way, let us know.
If Umbrella Entertainment or Via Vision went to the National Australian Archive and went and made DVDs, I can understand. Like, so just on that. The four collections, sorry, the three volumes and the movie were released, I think, in the mid 2000s, like, it's millennium, like 2005 to like 2008 or something like that, So like, but now there's just like a whole bigger market for that type of thing. So Via Vision's already done things like release the entirety of Sons and Daughters, which hadn't been completely available outside of certain of 7+ streaming and all that sort of stuff. So that would be so great, you guys, because look, we're doing shows about it. Like, you could plug your product or something. I'll ask the boys. Like,
And
also
thanks for the
though,
comments on our
yes.
last one. We like seeing comments. I like them, but I think Bevan replied to one or two of them, or both of them.
Yeah, I did. No. Yeah.
So I'm glad people are actually liking this, and we'll do more, as much as
It's
it,
always.
whatever's out there.
It's always interesting too to with extra factoids and information like that. Just because this show it's older. It had a very controversial syndication and distribution. Like as earlier comment said, it flat out no in I think it was the UK because of the nudity and stuff like that. And it wasn't a well-known enough show to warrant the extra work to edit it.
To
And thank you
censor
for that to the commenter who gave us that info. That was really interesting because it does speak to what you were saying earlier about like a big chunk of it does feel very much ahead of its time. It was pushing things like nudity and sexual issues and sexual identity issues and stuff like that in a time when people, as we see other characters, the more conservative ones, don't talk. No one talks.
right.
It's also something we see in Dallas, if anybody's been watching the other ones that Eric and I do together. Nobody talks in the old days. And it's just, and while it works as an amazing plot device, it does get frustrating when like you're like,
It
guys, just
is.
fucking talk. Oh my God. But
If you
yes.
just get it all out, Pam and Bobby would have been together
Yeah. So with
the
number 96, as far as like the character things go, I think because like it goes from I think episode 35 or something and what's available to that one in 450. 450 does give you a bit of a rundown on some of the recent things that have occurred through characters talking about it. But I think largely I'll probably just cover the characters' fates and stuff like that and what they do, leave, whatever.
Well,
Like I guess I've read left.
I'm sure some characters disappear after episode 450, or even between those
Yeah,
episodes, I would
exactly.
assume.
So like
Yeah.
450, by the time we get to 450, a lot of these sort of staple characters, the ones that become sort of in more endeared to the audience, have arrived. So I think it'd be important just to see where like some of the old cast is kind of left off and we're introduced to these ones. So I guess
Right,
my
right.
approach would be more just tying off the characters that are current, like that we're dealing with now, to lead into these newer ones and the movie and
All right, so we'll wrap this episode up about the number 96, or see the number 96, number 96. Thanks for joining us today at Queers and Soaps. Like, subscribe, comment, because we would definitely like help, or whatever you want to comment about is cool. Let us know what you like and stuff. Who's your faves? What your favorite storylines are, because we'll be talking about them soon enough. Have a good day, everyone.
Bye.